on the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Day after the Nativity of our Lord, we gather together, so not just we gather together to remember the Mother of God and her role, and central role, in God coming to be among us. So simple reflection on this very powerful verse that we've heard several times this week, although not in today's Gospels, that Mary pondered these words in her heart, that Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. And that occurs in the Gospel of Luke in the second chapter, right after the shepherds appear and tell Mary and whoever else is there what has happened. And they worship the newborn child. And it says that all who heard this marveled, who were amazed, or taken up with wonder. That's the preceding verse. So there were other people there. There were people who heard this, and they were amazed at what they were hearing. But then it says, but Mary treasured these words. It's almost as if she didn't get all caught up in the amazement and marvel. After all, this really wasn't new information for her. Sure, things were unfolding, but she'd already had the angel Gabriel appear to her. She'd already become with child without knowing a man. She'd already had these interactions with her betrothed, her to-be husband, Joseph. She was so profoundly aware that the Holy Spirit had come upon her. So the way in which many people were marveled or wondered, in a good sense, she had, maybe a different type of response. And the word for that's translated treasure is very rare. It's only four times in the New Testament. It really means to keep or preserve, protect, shelter. And two of their uses is when Jesus is saying, you don't put new wine into old wineskins, because then the wineskin will break and you lose the wine in the skin, but you put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved, both are kept, saved, both are live out their proper function. They work together in this way. And the other use of it is interesting. It's when when we're told that Herod was quite enamored with John the Baptist, and he didn't like to listen to him. He liked what he had to say. He didn't really like it they had to put him in prison and sort of keep him quiet and keep peace in the household. And there it says he preserved. He was preserving. He was keeping. He was guarding, watching John the Baptist. He wasn't letting him be destroyed. He was protecting him. And so that's the word that's used here when the Mother of God hears these words, like everybody else heard them, but she, we're told, protects them, guards them. She sort of puts them in a little prison inside of her so that nobody can break in and steal them. And then it says she ponders them in her heart. She reflects on them. She doesn't have them there just kind of as a trophy, but the focus of her attention. So these three things, she listened, she heard, like everybody else heard these words, not just the words of the shepherd, the words of the archangel Gabriel, and a little bit later, the words from the wise men. As her son grew up, the words of her son. She heard these words like everyone else heard them, but she's particularly noted for protecting them. Not letting herself get distracted by the distractions of this world, letting herself preserve these words in such a way that she wasn't pulled to and fro by the things of the world, including by all of the excitement and enthusiasm, all of the pride or vain glory that could come with, hey, look at me, I'm the mother of the Messiah. If our Lord himself was tempted, then surely the Mother of God was tempted. If our Lord, as we heard in the Epistle to the Hebrews, was tempted in every way that we are, then surely she was tempted in every way that we are. But she protected, preserved, guarded, kept these words for this very simple reason, so that she could ponder them, meditate on them, reflect on them. Like we hear at the beginning of the Psalter, Psalm 1, that the blessed man is the one who meditates on the law of our Lord day and night, on the words that our Lord gives him. Now, if you think about the last just few days in which the church has been filled with services and all of these readings, Old Testament readings, Gospel readings, all of the hymns of the church, canons and akathists, really we have an abundance of words, not a couple drops, but really almost a torrent, a storm of words that come our way. And maybe it will be, in a sense, too much for us to preserve them all. But somewhere in the course of our life, in these holy days, but really throughout all of our life, every day, it's enough for us to hear some word from God. Maybe from our own reading of the scriptures or reciting, saying of our prayers. Maybe from interactions with someone that we see. Might even be in a very strange context that's not even, as it were, kind of religious or orthodox, but somehow God breaks through. And it's for us to hear that as the Mother of God heard it, and not to get reactive in a way that allows us to lose the preciousness of that word, but we preserve it, we protect it with a kind of calmness and inner sobriety, so that we can meditate on it, ponder it, reflect on it. That's how it is that it grows roots. This is what I'm trying to get to, is that we can go from thing to thing to thing to thing, activity to activity, even in the life of the church, and never grow roots. You can go from place to place, or from study to study, or just activity to activity, and never let ourselves grow roots. But the Mother of God took the words that she was being told, kept them, preserved them, and let them grow roots. Let them become part of her and inner voice inside her heart. So that's her model for us, her gift to us who have done that, but also her model for us to strive to do the same. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.